Hello and welcome back to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep minute by remaining minutes into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's world of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are here, John. We are back on a Monday, the home stretch.
The homest of stretches.
We've almost done it.
Not quite yet.
We got a little bit to go through.
We're very close.
I think we're going to knock this out in one recording session, which is going to be great.
Yep.
We'll save all the mushy gushy stuff for later. We are here to talk about minutes 139 through 140. Nope. We are here to talk about minutes 140 through 141. I was looking at Friday's notes so I could do a recap.
Okay. I was like, did I do my notes wrong? Nope. Have I been doing my notes wrong for this entire podcast?
Nope. So I want to do a recap because we left off kind of in the middle of an important scene.
Of a conversation. One of the very few instances where we've been kind of hung on a cliff.
Yep.
I guess.
On the edge of a Chris knife is where we sat last week. I'm just diving into it, man, because we got a lot to talk about. Yep. So no preamble. Yeah. Hope you're doing well. Happy Monday. Yada, yada. Let's get into the movie. So we left off with Chaul talking by the wall.
Chaul at the wall.
And Paul goes, is handed a Chris knife.
Yes.
And it is a very sentimental Chris knife because it was Chani's great aunt's Chris knife.
Who I have the theory that in this movie adaptation, Liat Kynes is Chani's great aunt to help kind of bring it all back to Chani and Kynes being related. That is entirely my own headcanon. There's nothing in Art and Soul of Dune about this. There's nothing that I could find about this. No. This is just, it makes sense in my head.
Yeah. I like it as the purest of pure headcanon.
Yeah.
Which is what most great headcanon is.
I don't know. There's a lot of real shitty headcanon that people have.
Oh yeah, but that's a good one. Okay. I like it.
All right. Fair.
So we pick Rex back.
It's definitely one of the more logical ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's founded in some, like, if they were going to take a little bit from the book or try to draw those comparisons in, that's a very easy one to make.
Yeah.
So it is her great aunt's Chris knife, or was given to her by her great aunt. And we continue in this minute with Chani saying it is made from the tooth of Shai Hulud, the great sandworm.
And then I love her next line because she's just like, this will be a great honor for you to die holding it.
Yeah.
Because she's zero confidence. She's just like, yeah, you're absolutely going to get fucking smoked by Jameis, but at least you're not going to die like a bitch.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to mitigate the bitchness of Vichy dies.
I don't know. The way she says it definitely like reeks of bitchness.
Yeah, Chani has very, very little confidence in Paul at this moment. And for good reason. This is just some random white boy that wandered into the
skinny ass white boy that's just been out in the desert.
Yeah. Legs are shot from doing all the sand walk because he's a noob. And she just thinks this is going to be quick work. Jameis is going to make quick work of Paul.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Speaking of Jameis.
Well, real quick, Paul does this little thing to, you know, feel the balance of the knife. Yeah. But I also feel like he's like, man, what if I do these cool like knife flips in front of her? Do you think I can like impress her or whatever?
That make her love me? I get it, Paul. No, it won't, but I get it.
No, I mean, A for effort, I guess, but.
Jameis is fuming. Oh. This is like, he is anger pacing in the background.
I think I talked about this last week. It's like that dog that's just like walking the perimeter of the inside of the fence, just fucking pissed the fuck off. Or I don't know if, because you had dogs, you know, growing up and stuff.
But we never had fences though.
Right. But like, I'm sure if a coyote or whatever ever got on your property, they would either A, not give a fuck, which is knowing the dogs that I met, most likely true, or B, like, get all riled up and pissed off because something is near their house.
We mostly had very gentle, very, like, good demeanor dogs. They would bark and everything. They'd run out, like, into the front yard, but never chase, except for one dog.
Yeah.
He was a big chaser, but the irony was he was a miniature Dachshund. and this dog, his name was Oscar Meyer. Yes. Okay. Naturally.
Yeah. Yeah.
would chase anything down, man. He had like the biggest spirit in the tiniest body. He's a very good dog.
That is not Jameis, though.
No.
Jameis has the biggest spirit, but not the tiniest body.
A very big body.
Yeah.
So we get a shot of Jameis kind of like doing the pacing that we talked about. Chani just
being, and he just screams.
Oh, yeah.
Where is the Outworlder?
Yeah, right.
Which I feel like Outworlder is a slur.
I don't think it's said in reverence.
So. It's definitely not.
Stilgar's like, hey, Jameis, you can't be saying that.
Sassy
it's 10,191, man. Come on. You can't say that shit.
Sassy Stilgar in his gay ass pose.
He somehow found a fainting couch and he's just laying on it.
Yeah. Stilgar's just got a nice chase, as it were.
Chani, in her blase attitude, tells Paul that Jameis is a good fighter. And he'll make it quick for him.
Jameis is a good fighter. He won't let you suffer.
He won't make it. Yeah. And Paul like tries to say something here.
So she says that, begins to turn away, and then Paul is just like, Chani, and then he looks down at his feet and he's like, never mind. And I don't know if you as a middle schooler or a high schooler ever tried to like profess your love for a girl that you liked in person, but that's the vibe that I got from this right here.
You know, I'm not going to get into it. the answer to that question is rarely. All right. Anyways,
digging up some old memories today, yeah, baby.
Don't love that. So
yeah, and then everyone in your class makes fun of you for like fucking.
Oh, I would never do it with an audience. Are you insane?
No. You never do it with an audience, but you know that that person then goes to tell their friends, who, you know, everyone's in fucking high school, so everyone knows by like third period or whatever.
This was always, I think, the handful of times I told a girl that I liked her was probably after school. Because most likely they were going to be in like band or tennis, the things that I did outside of school.
Yep.
So yeah, no, that was never something I did in school. You're an absolute insane person if you do that.
I'm not saying I did.
Okay. What do you think he was going to go tell her?
I mean, based on everything that we have seen from Paul's many visions of her, who fucking knows? It could have been, hey, are you going to be the one that actually kills me instead? Or, hey, you're really pretty. Or, hey, are you going to lead a galaxy-wide jihad with me?
What an opener.
Or, hey, do you just love to, like, dip your hand in blood?
Yeah, right.
Or,
please tell me that's not my blood. And or, she's like, what? And he's like, nothing.
Or, hey, why have you been saying my name to me in my own visions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did a little digging into this moment. And actually, I came across the doom.
Or maybe he was just going to say thanks.
I think it was probably more than a thanks.
Yeah.
The script, the actual screenplay gives us a little insight into this.
Okay.
So after Paul says Chani and she says yes, the screenplay, this is the Golden Revision, published 6/12/2020.
Okay.
After Chani says yes, the notes say, Paul considers telling her about his visions. Paul looks at Chani in the eyes. She is troubled. A strange, intimate silence between them. I gotta say, they nailed it. It was a strange, intimate silence.
Man,
That is exactly what this felt like.
I think most awkward moment of the movie award goes to that.
But it's Paul who's awkward. Because he's like looking at her like he knows her, like he's like they've been through all this shit. And in reality, they met 10 minutes ago.
Not even.
Yeah. And Johnny's like, what the fuck is happening? And I don't know if you saw this, but when in the next scene, when they start to make their way towards the fighting arena.
Yeah.
Chani like looks back at Paul and looks like he's like a fucking weirdo.
Yeah. No, that's fucking in my notes, dude. Okay.
Yeah, I just love that she gives him that look of like, what the fuck's this guy on?
Yeah. My notes then say she uncomfortably then leads Paul down to Jameis and the rest of the Fremen. Yeah. Who at this point, they all have their Cracker Jacks. They all have their hot dogs. Mm-hmm. They're just chilling on the rocks.
Yep.
Waiting for this to happen.
That's it. Johnny takes her seat, and I guess Jameis got tired of pacing.
Yeah, because now he's just doing a mean squat.
Oh, yeah. He's just missing the
flat foot and everything, too.
He's just missing the Adidas tracksuit for it to be a full slop squat.
And like 5 cigarettes in each hand.
Oh, of course. And then the last shot that we get in this minute is Paul looking up at the Fremen spectators, just kind of around him. Jameis is still crouched down. Paul's looking up at the folks who are about to watch all this stuff go down. And that is where our minute ends.
Stilgar in the background with the big tray of hot dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And beers.
He'd make a good hot dog seller. I feel like he would. He probably wouldn't be loud and vocal, but you'd buy one anyways.
Yeah.
He'd just look at you and you go, yeah, I'll get one.
Actually, give me like 3.
Yeah, yeah. It's more of an intimidation sales tactic than anything else.
And he said he's out here pushing 999s on everyone. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, 999 is a thing in baseball that has become a trend where during the 9 innings, you consume 9 hot dogs and 9 beers. More often than not, it results in funny TikToks of people either like blowing chunks or just being so drunk that they like have to be carried out. So
there's
tapping out after like 3.
There's a non insignificant part of me that thinks I could do it, and that's the problem. It depends on the beer and it depends on the dogs.
It would have to be the lightest of light beers.
Yes, absolutely. Bud Light.
I was thinking like Miller.
Okay. Well, okay. I don't think they sell
also
Miller
Lite. Also, the champagne of beers. You know?
Well, Miller Heavy is. Miller Light, I don't think they sell it, the Brayskin. I've only seen Bud Lights.
No, it's definitely a Budweiser.
Yeah. But they do also sell, like, they do the footlongs at the games, but they also do, like, the normal, like, 6-inch gas station style hot dogs.
The best kind of hot dogs.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm saying, like, if it's those and there's no condiments, which it sounds gross, but
you haven't eaten in like 2 days.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think the condiments are just wasted space at this point.
At least put a little bit of mustard on it to like lube it down.
I don't know. I think you'd have to go full what's his face?
Who's Johnny Chestnut?
Yeah. Joey Chestnut. You have to go full Joey Chestnut.
Just hot dog. Dip it in water.
Hot dog in the beer so you can go twice as fast.
Better yet, just make a straw out of the hot dog. Drink the beer through the hot dog straw and then eat the hot dog.
I'm just saying, I think there's ways that it can be done. I don't want to try any of these ways, but I think it can be done.
I was going to say, I'll pay for you to try.
God, no. You know, I can't drink beer. It upsets my stomach.
Yeah, that's true. Speaking of upset stomachs, I think Paul's stomach is
a little churning
in some knots right now.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah. But we're really going to get it into knots on tomorrow's episode, yeah. I think.
So let me take you down for a walk through Book City and just tell you where we're at.
Yeah, and I assume this week you have a lot more notes.
I do
from the book.
So the last couple of weeks have been kind of sparse because we really ran up to this moment in the books and they took a slow walk to get here in the movies. So Jessica is much more vocal in the lead up to this fight in the books.
Yeah.
Like she is the one who is like, I'll fucking fight you, Jameis. I'll do it right now. God damn it. I'll
fucking do it. Yeah. Whereas in the movie, Stilgar is just like, nah, you can't challenge a Sayajina. Yeah,
no, but Jameis is specifically calling out Paul in the books because Stilgar is like, oh, this guy is, you know, super important. He's the Lison Agaib. And Jessica's like, nah, dude, you got beef with me. Let's fight. Let's do it. And Jameis is like, no, I got beef.
Motherfucker.
He's like, I got beef with him specifically. Up until one point where Jessica looks at Jameis and goes, if you harm my son, you'll have to meet me. Which is a very different Jessica than we get in the movies.
Yeah.
Like, I know that's that she's also protective.
A fucking hard as hell line.
I know. I know Jessica's a good mother in the movies. And that's not in any kind of question, but she is so set in her like stressed out panicking ways that we don't get to see that side of her really.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, it's a very different feeling in the book. Jameis is far from a believer, just like he is in the movie. He's far from a believer that they are, you know, fulfilling this prophecy.
Yeah.
He wants like a lot of hard proof and that's what he keeps asking for. Stilgar, you know, calls Jessica Sayajina a couple of times, yep. And he actually gets on Stilgar's ass about it. He's like, will you fucking stop doing that, please? Because they have not proven themselves at all yet.
Jameis gets on Stilgar's ass for calling him
that. Jameis gets on Stilgar's ass for calling him that.
Because you said Stilgar calls her a Sayajina and then he gets on Stilgar's ass, and I'm like,
sorry. He's too many pronouns. So at one point, this is probably the funniest thing, and this joke will carry into next minute or tomorrow's episode too.
Okay.
At one point, Jessica tries to use the voice on Jameis to calm him down, and he immediately calls her out on the bullshit.
Hey, no, fuck you.
And he's like, this witch is casting a spell on me. And he's like, I demand for her to be silent. And Stilgar's like, all right, that's fair. Jessica, shut the fuck up.
Witch!
Yeah, pretty much, right? So they're much more like keen on the small tricks that the Bene Gesserit pull.
Which is funny because they're completely blind to the biggest trick that the Bene Gesserit are pulling on them.
Yeah, right. Well, if you lie about all the little stuff, no one notices when you lie about all the big stuff.
I guess.
So it is. That's where I'll cut off the book notes right here, because it does, like I said, bleed into tomorrow. But Jessica has much more of a part in the lead up to this fight.
Got it.
Jameis is very much hotheaded in the books as he is in the movies. Stilgar is very much the same, sassy bitch that we get in the movies.
I love sassy Stilgar so much.
but yes, Jessica's role was downplayed a little bit. So cool. Well, that's all I got. Anything else from your end?
Nothing from me. As always, you can find us online. We are on Instagram at the Dune Minute, on Blue Sky at Dune Minute, on Twitter at Dune Minute, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. And we'll be back tomorrow. All right. Our Tuesday episode.
Let's do it. See ya.